Just before we begin today's daf, I just want to mention that there were some problems yesterday, apparently, at downloadings, that it was downloading a different file. Now, I'm not sure how that happens, but we do know that that it seems that if people have their directories cached from the day before, that they will download that file. Even though that file, I don't understand it, because the file's not available under that name any longer on the site. How can they? Where are they getting it from?
The browser thinks, oh, I haven't downloaded the file.
No, but what if he hadn't downloaded it?
But he's already
I see. The browser thinks, I see, he has that file. Okay. So therefore, the suggestion is, say that aloud.
On the options page, if you're using Internet Explorer, on the options page, I believe it's under advanced options, you set the cache settings. And the cache setting you want to set is to never, to always reload the page. That's what it's called. Always reload the page when you visit it, rather than pulling it out of your cache.
Okay, can you do that on a particular page, or it means that it's not going to use cookies? It's going to just be...
It should still use cookies. It's a different...
So it's just downloading.
It's for every page. Every time you go to a page, rather than pulling the one it has...
Right, so I'm not the cookie, but I'm saying but the stored page. It's going to slow your browser down a bit.
Potentially a little bit.
Uh-huh, okay. Lenora.
Cookies are a bad thing.
It depends how much you weigh, probably. All right, so we're holding today. We're holding today on that buffet, but unfortunately, we only got up to the middle of. I'm sorry, we're holding today from down. Yeah. I've been doing this lately. It's definitely the outdoor feeling in the air. So we're holding today on Daf Chof Dalet, and we got up to yesterday in the middle, we're towards the bottom of Chof Gimel Amud Beis, and we had just finished the Sugya of Hazmana Milsa here, not?
Mm-hmm.
And we got up to Boimine, I believe, yeah? If I'm not mistaken. So Boimine Rav Yosef, Bered Rav Nechunya, Rav Yehuda, if I'm correct. All right. Okay, so we're 8 lines up from the bottom. Moshe, now 7 lines. Moshe Aniach Adam Tvilav Tachat Mirashotav. Can a person keep his tefillin to be shemer underneath his head when he goes to sleep? Certainly not a very derech kavod. Tachat Margalotav Lokamiboy. Definitely you can't put them beneath your feet. The point over here is that if somebody tries to steal them or an animal tries to get them in the middle of the night, you'll feel it moving. So that would work for, you could put it under your feet, but that's for sure not a derech kavod. That's in fact with nation of Hegben min hag, derech bizayon. Aval minichan tachat mirashotav. Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped. So my, amalayofi amashmu, mutar vaafilu ishto imo. First of all, it's mutar in terms of the sleeping on the tefillin. We'll see, it doesn't mean literally on the tefillin. What's more, it's mutter even if his wife is with him and he's likely to have relations with her, there's no problem either. We'll see later on there's issues of protecting the tefillin, kis betoch kis, and so on when we get to it. Yeah, I must be really very tired. Did I say Ochi Omer Shmuel? I said it, yeah. Yeah, meisvei. I really didn't have anything to drink either. Meisvei. Lo yaniach adam tefilav tachat margalotav b'pnei shel ha'eg b'hem derech bizayon, aval minichan tachat mirashotav. So far, so good. The problem is that Shmuel said, afilo yishto imo, and here it says, v'im hayta yishto imo asur. Hayam makom shegavoa shlosha tvachim, o namuch shlosha tvachim mutar. If you have a stool next to the bed, so it's 3 tvachim now separate. 3 tvachim is like it's in a different place, or it's lower than 3 tvachim from your bed. So then it would be okay because it's in a different area. To Yufta to Shmuel. It looks like Shmuel's out of the water. To Yufta, you're right. Boy, he's blown away. This is not good.
Also 3 tvachim away, probably?
No.
Not even further from the bed?
No. We're talking about the height.
It has to be height. First,
yeah. In other words, so it should be now. In a different, I mean, away already, then you don't have any shmira. That's not the issue. We're trying to find shmira over here. Omar Rava says, Rava, it's a very strange thing, but the truth is that Rafa gav the tiny to Yufta to Shmuel, even though we just proved that Shmuel is wrong, we paskin like him. Halacha kavate, we're going to follow him la halacha. Why? My time up. Kol nidrinu tvei adif. Even though you're right in terms of the dinim of bizoyan and so on, he's wrong, and there's an inyan of bizoyan that's here. However, we paskin that it's more kedai to watch the tefillin better, even in a state of bizoyan. So Shmuel wasn't necessarily addressing that issue. But even though the Brisa says it's considered to be bizoyan if he's going to be sleeping with his wife, nonetheless, for Shmirah, we're Merchel on the Bizayon.
A particular Shmirah or just Stam Shmirah?
Whatever is needed for Shmirah, like we had riding on a donkey on a Sefer Torah. That type of thing. It's whatever is needed to be able to maintain the Kiddush of a thing, ultimately, is more important than the way right now I'm treating it, because ultimately I'm treating it in order to be Shemirah.
Therefore, if you don't really need it, then of course you don't do it, so that's Bizayon.
What do you mean you don't really need it?
If
we're talking about a case where he's worried that it's going to be stolen or eaten elsewhere. Ve'echamon achlu, when you're putting it under your pillow, where? Omer b'yirmiya bein kar l'cheset, shelo k'neged rosho. We don't mean literally to stick it now under your head. What we mean is you put it under the pillow. You put it under the pillow between the pillow and the sheet. And not directly beneath your head, but that way if somebody pulls at it, or if an achbar pulls at it, you'll feel it, and you'll be able to grab it. V'tadei Rebbe Chia minichran bikova tachat mirashosav. Doesn't Rebbe Chia say that you leave it in the kis? The kova over here means its container. And he says directly, tachat mirashosav. So in other words, that means that you've got the kis shel tefillin. It sounds essentially as if that's going to be your pillow. No, it means the mafik le'lumursha de'kovelavar. It's talking about that in the tefillin zekel itself, wherever the tefillin are, you have a enlargement of the kovelavar, even if it's not a very flexible kind of tefillin zekel. Nonetheless, it's clear where the tefillin are in that zekel. So you have one section that's enlarged because of the presence of the tefillin. That's called le'murshahon. Notice the corner, the sharp point. Its point should be put outside. So what happens is over here, essentially you have a large enough kiss for the tefillin that you will feel somebody moving it, and your head is on the part of the kiss where the tefillin aren't. And the mursha, where the actual tzitz of the tefillin is not directly beneath your head. Bar kapara. Now, Bar Kapora also had his problem. How did he keep his tefillin? He had a canopy bed. So he would put the tefillin in, attach them to the edge of the canopy, with the area of the tefillin themselves facing outwards. But if anybody would try to pull the tefillin, it would move the inside that was attached to the inside part of the canopy. And that way, he had to basically achieve the same thing without putting his head on it. Another Maizomer of Huna, Bereid Rav Yosef, Rav Shesha Bereid Rav Idi, would put it on a stool, and he would put over the tefillin a sudar to protect them, and then if that was under him, if somebody would pull that, then it was a shmira that way. So that's even better. Omer of Amnuna, Bereid Rav Yosef, Zimna Choda, Havekeimna Kameda Rava. I was once learning by Rav of Amali Zil Aite Li Tefillin, and he asked me to go bring his tefillin. So he had his tefillin in his bedroom. It was the only place where people were certain that nothing would happen to them. V'yashkachtinu ben kar l'cheset, shelo k'neged rosho, and indeed I found him, halak l'maisa, the way we said originally, that it was beneath his pillow, between the pillow and the ticking. And it was not where his head, I could see where his head had been lying. It was not connected to Rosh Hashanah. And it happens to be of a Yadana de Yom Tvila Havi. Rashi learns, I knew that his wife had gone to the mikveh the night before. Which is a little bit strange. I mean, how would he know his wife had gone to the mikveh? Others learn that he knew that Ravag went to the mikveh that morning. And normally, they weren't Zahir unless it actually had intercourse. They would go to the mikveh. So he recognized that it must be that he had kept these tefillin in his bed despite the fact that he had been sleeping with his wife, which is a raya now, la'agmaran alocha l'maisa u'di'avat. He did this to teach me that l'maisa we should follow Shmuel's psak And that afilo ishto imo, we still should keep the tefillin ben karla chesed. So it was to teach me halacha lamaisa. Boy minei Rav Yosef nechunya mi Rav Yehuda. Now, I must introduce to you that according to the way just about every shita learns the following sugya, it will not sit well with people of Western sexual sensitivities. Because that is a Christian civilization, and therefore it's very alien to the way the Gemara has things, okay? But the norm was in those days to sleep at night without night clothing. And the norm was that everybody basically slept in one bed. And there weren't big houses. The bedroom was the house, essentially. You opened up, you know, the area for the bed. So essentially you have a bunch of nude people sleeping together in one bed. And the shaila is there any problem of reading Kriyat Shema in such circumstances? Now, in order to understand the sugya properly, we have to be mechalek between a number of different issues. There's the question of erava. The Torah says that lo yerabach erevat davar. If that's the case, we have to be careful that at a time when we have yemachanecha kadosh, the time that you're being osik in yonim of kedusha, quite aside from isurei erava, with something that is not usur, it's not usur to be naked, but you can't say kriyashma when you're naked. So we have one issue of nakedness. For that, we have various dinim, such as covering just the genital area, problem if you have something that covers your entire body but doesn't separate between your heart and your genitals is a question of libo roes erva, which we'll see later on as machloket. Then we have another question, which is the tirda, which is the presence of sexual stimulation. Now, there's two levels of that. There's an isser of hirhur, which a person is not allowed to be thinking about sex. That is talking about something in which there's an actual intent, an interest, a prurient sexual interest in something. That's a yura which per se is aser. Bechlal, it's aser to be maharashalei harabayom v'yavali deituma balayla. We're certainly not talking about cases over here where there's any prurient interest in the people that you're sleeping with. But there's another level of yirhur, which is sexual tension. In other words, wherever there's any type of physical contact with anyone, the Gemara takes for granted the Freudian basis of all relationships. So there's always a sexual tension in contact. So there the question is whether that is an issue in terms of Kriyat Shema. And there we have a machlokas. Is the problem the sexual content, or is the problem the tirda? Some Rishonim learn simply it's because you're not concentrating properly on your Kriyat Shema. On that level of tirda, the Gemara does not see any distinction whatsoever in terms of the age of the person, the sex of the person. There's absolutely no difference. The relationship that you have to that person, whether it's a family member, a non-family member, and so on. The only difference that we recognize is the relationship between a man and his wife, which is someone that they're so used to each other's bodies that they don't have that tension. But otherwise, we recognize that there's an element of tension, and therefore we need to discuss that aspect when it comes to Kriyat Shema. So now the Shaila is like this. Ask the Gemara, we're up to Boiminei. Boiminei Rav Yosef, Bereidu Rav Nechunya Rav Yehuda. Shnayim Shishanim B'mita Achat. If you have two or more people that are sleeping in one bed. So now the question is, can they... We understand that if they're facing each other, again, here there's a machlokas. Facing each other, Rashi and many Rishonim learn, we're talking about a bed that is so small that in facing each other, there's going to be some genital contact because there's simply no place to go. Others learn facing each other means even facing each other without contact. That itself, we understand, is facing another person's nakedness. So that even if there's no problem of ri'ah, because you're under the covers and so on, that itself would be asur. But Pashas, if we learn like Rashi, it's talking about contact. So his question is, can you turn in the other direction? If both people turn the other way, then they won't be touching each other. They will be touching each other from the back, but Dr. Gemara will discuss what about that problem. So it says, so what's the deal? Are you allowed to carry Kriyat Shema if each one turns aside? Amalei Hachyar Mashmuel. Shmuel said there's no problem of doing that. Va'afilo ishto imo, even if his wife is with him in the bed. Maskel Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef says, I don't understand what you, how can you bring a proof from that? A wife isn't a more of a problem. A wife is less of a problem. So what you're saying, Adarav, you're telling me, Ishtov Eloi Miboy Acher, you're saying, I have a raya, if even his wife is going to be there, Koshkit somebody else. On the contrary, Ishtov Kigufo, his wife, basically, he feels the same way he feels about his own body. But Acher, some other human being, is certainly going to create a tension which is greater than he would have with Ishto, Lav Kigufo Dami. Now here again, the question, the Havamina that we had, is that the question is sexual content. In which case Shmuel said, look, if your own wife, which is certainly something that has a sexual content, is mutter, so Koshkin, somebody, maybe even somebody of the same sex, is a child of your own, or so on and so forth, that for sure should be mutter. Says Rav Yosef, but that wasn't the issue. The question over here wasn't that he had some kind of interest, some sexual interest, and that's what's going to be mark of the Kriyat Shema. The question over here is the, what Rashi calls hiyur, but he means it in the sense of not the hiyur of taiva of this particular individual, but the possibility of taiva, and that creates, that clearly creates a tension. And that's as soon as people are in contact with each other, there's an actual biological reaction to have to deal with that. And we have all types of mechanisms for that. I mean, even the, you know, strange mechanisms of somebody coming close to touch your nose, you feel that? You got that? Okay, what is that? It has a sexual element to it, not a prurient element, but it's the fact of somebody else coming close to you, right? Or tickling and so on. So in the Gemara, we're not machalic between there's innocent touching, there's non-innocent touching. There's neither innocent nor non-innocent. There's just the way it is. So therefore, the Shaila is, Rav Yosef, how are you proving anything by bringing me a riot from his wife? Adarabba. Ishtok Agufo. So that's no proof. Meisvei. Maybe we can even show that it's wrong. Shnayim shishinim bimita achat, zemach zirpanav v'korei, v'zemach zirpanav v'korei. So one brisa says there's not a problem, which seems to be like Shmuel. V'tanya achrita ayashen b'mita u'banav u'vnei b'eto b'tzido. Harei zeh lo yikra kriyat shema, elo im kein hayta talit mafseket b'neihem. What are you going to do about that? That if you have the people of your home, meaning of your family, and Rashi says that that includes a wife. That's also b'nei b'eto. So it's saying over here that you would have to use a talit, meaning some type of beged, to cover between the two of you. If we're talking about youngsters over here, we'll decide what age that is. So then it's okay even without a talit. But over here it appears that someone of once of age that is sexually stimulating is prohibited. Tosfos says this definitely not, can't be true, because we never find that we call ishto in this context b'nei beto. I mean, we've been talking about b'nei beto all along. Nobody ever thought it meant ishto. Therefore, Tosfos says there's clearly a different girsa. He brings the girsa from Ben Yosef, which is haya yashen b'mita v'ishto yashena b'tzido. It's a completely different price, not the price we discussed before. So we have over here a contradiction in terms of the issues of Shmuel. So, Bishleim el Rav Yosef lo kasha. According to Rav Yosef, Adarav, it's not a problem. Because we could say that there's no problem when there's Ishto, then there is a problem when there's somebody else. But according to Shmuel, Shmuel says it's all the same, and it's okay, afilu Ishto, you might want to explain that. Says Shmuel, wait, just hold on a second over here. What do you mean according to Rav Yosef it's okay? According to Rav Yosef, it's also not okay here. Because Hatanya Ayashen b'mita v'nav v'nei b'to b'mita. Lo yikra kriyat shema, elo yim kein hayta talito mafseket v'neihem. So, I mean, I understand. Again, the girsa being Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef's girsa, or according to Rashi, this being a reference to Ishto specifically. So what are you going to say according to Rav Yosef? El al korchach, you're going to have to say even according to him, that we're going to say, ma'itlach lemeimah, that ishtola Rav Yosef tanoi. One braita is saying it's okay and didn't raise the problem. The other braita is saying it's not okay. So he wants to say that that's tafka by ishto. Fine. So I say the same thing about everybody. So ishtola Rav Yosef tanoi, l'didinami tanoi, is according to me, there's a machlokas. There is indeed a man, the Amar holds that it's different. l'gabe ishto, or maybe l'gabe everybody. All I said was, if you hold like the other man diyama, then afilo, I stick by that. Afilo ishto imo, and for sure anybody else. I don't get it. You're saying the problem was genital contact. So if you're going to turn the other direction, you're still going to be touching the other person's buttocks, right? So how about that? Isn't that some type of tension? This proves Rav Huna's contention that agavot ein ben mishum erva. Now some learn, there's a very interesting nukuda. The Gemara is saying over here that we don't view buttocks as having to do with erva. Does that mean that we are arguing about the fact that there's some stimulation involved in contact on that level? So some learn, of course we're not arguing about that. We're being mechadesh over here that there's a third darga, in other words. There's a stimulation that is possible from simple physical contact of any kind. But we're not going to answer that. We only answer a contact that has some connection to genital contact. So the question is, you're going to say that from the rear you're just as sexy, so to speak, as from the front? No, that's exactly what we're going to determine over here. That this is not considered to be erva. This is Gemara's own, erogenous zones safer over here. But this is the final word, halacha. Everybody else can have their opinion. So, Leiman b'sayela Ravuna. L'chor we have a riot to Ravuna, because the question of erva has other implications as well, exposure. You're not allowed to say a bracha, you're not allowed to say kriyat shema in the presence of erva. Can you say kriyat shema or a bracha in the presence of a buttocks? Somebody is covered from the front, uncovered from the back, or you've got a bunch of students mooning you while you're trying to say shir. Is that considered to be okay to say shir? In the hospital, that's right, this happens all the time.
Male female distinction?
No, there's not, there's bichlal, in all of these issues, there's no male or female distinctions. The only question is, in terms of things that are normally not exposed or exposed, and that, so for a woman, as we'll see, the woman generally keeps her body covered, any exposure, even tefach b'isha, which we're going to get up to. But other than that, in terms of, machanefa kadosh, there's no enough community between male and female. So the shaila is this considered to be, we're trying to bring a raya, is this considered to be an exposure of buttocks, is it considered erva? So we have a raya to Ravuna because it says that it's not. Because it says, Yisha Yoshevet, V'kotzala Chalata Aruma. A naked woman can take off chala. Now she has to make a bracha in order to do that. How is she going to make a bracha? She sits down on the ground. And in sitting down on the ground, she basically has her genital orifices covered. So what's the problem? Obviously a man can't do that because his equipment is going to show. Avaloha ish. So that proves, certainly she's not going to be, just because she's sitting on the ground, she's still going to be visible from the rear, isn't she? Tirgabar of Nakumbar Yitzchak, not necessarily. Because we might be talking about Kigon Shaya Panea Tufot Pakarka. She may in fact be pressing down the bottom half of her body against, so in other words, she has her rear end against the ground. This, by the way, is the marker for the Yiddish tuchus. It's tuchus. It means stuck up against, right? And that which is hidden is called tuchot. Not to be confused with the modern Hebrew tachat, which they tried to, take over the Yiddish. It's a mistake. That's not the marker for, a buttocks in Yiddish. Now, you said before that there's no problem, l'chora this means, even of genital contact, as long as the children are young. V'yad kama, om rev chista, tinoket, we'll see by the way in our halacha review that there's a machlokas, well this means literal genital contact, with young children. What's the shear of young children? Omra Chista Tinoket Bat Shalosh Shanim V'Yom Echad V'Tinok Ben Teisha Shanim V'Yom Echad. What is the definition? It's the same definition we had in Nida about Ru'uya Levia. Because since what we're talking over here is specifically sexual stimulation, that element, that tension that we're calling, so it has to be capable of consummation at least in order to create tension. So you may say that you can have a physical reaction or stimulation of having an infant on top of you as well, but it's not it certainly is not roy to consummation, and therefore it wouldn't be nageya the iser unless it would be nageya erev, as we saw. So the simple shear would be once. Do you have the check? So once you have the age that's roy levia, now you're going to have a problem of sexual tension. That's one mandiyam. Ikadi amri. The others say it's not the question of the possibility of consummation. It's a question of the level of sexual awareness and stimulation. So in other words, you need to have someone that is close enough to puberty that it's going to be stimulating. So ikadi amri tinoket bat yudalev shana biyom echad v'tinok ben 12 shana biyom echad. It would be talking about not necessarily that they have to be old enough to be dolim, but they have to be old enough so that signs of puberty in a female, what do we have? In a female that there's breast development, in a male that there's tsarev shimeach, that there's pubic hair. So that would be the shear that is already stimulating. And the mela there, you wouldn't be allowed to, again, but the question over here is, wouldn't be allowed at all, or wouldn't be allowed unless you're magzir ponav? That again, that's a machlokas. I mean, I don't know, Mishnah Berurah says it's a little hard to believe we're actually allowing genital contact just because they're younger. I mean, okay, but lamaisa, we'll see that there's machlokas made up poskim, how far we go with this. So both of them are kedesh adayim nachonu v'sarech tzimeach, which is the pasuk that we say in the Haggadah of Pesach from Yecheskel, referring to the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu finds Klal Yisrael just at a pubescent stage. Omalei Rav Kana l'Rav Ashi. So Rav Kana said to Rav Ashi, look, it comes to the shaila of ishto imo. Shmuel said before you could keep your tefillin under your pillow, even if ishto imo. We showed that he was wrong, and then we said, even though he's wrong, he's right. And we have over here exactly the same thing, it looks like. The question is about reading Kriyat Shema. Can you turn the other direction? Shmuel says, with your wife, it's okay. And then we have this other bride that says it's not. I mean, is it the same thing? We paskin like Shmuel before, even though there was a bride against him, and Koshkin over here, which seems to be my focus. So maybe we should paskin like Shmuel here too. So therefore, he asked Rav Ashi, Rava said over there, Afagavda to Yuvta to Shmuel, Ilchasa Kavasi to Shmuel. But even though Lemaisa, we've shown Shmuel wrong, we paskin like him. Do we say over here the same thing? I mean, it's the same topic. Ishto imo, one benogea tefillin, one benogea kriyat shema. So Achamar, Amar Leis, I don't understand what, you like the pattern so much? Kula b'choda machta machtino, you think it's all the same weave? Everything is woven in the same way? So this is the word that we have, and by the way, of that we use for Masechet. There's the Rashi, the beautiful Rashi, actually, and not here. We had the Rashi back in Chulin. That Kula B'chada Machta is his lashon is Tikun Dibur. When you're being metaken, what you're saying, kori le inche ariga. And the word that we have, of course, for a mesechet is mesechet. Mesechet means the setup of a weave.
Loom.
Yeah, well, no, it's the setup of the threads on the loom. It's not the loom itself. So in other words, it's an actual loom about to go into action. Macht is the same idea. You're talking about a weave. That is the word in Hebrew. And that is such a stunning thing that we call a Masechet the Masechet. That is the word in Hebrew for the word context. Context comes from the word weaving. That's textiles. Mm-hmm. Context is that which is chada machta, machtina. So a Masechet stresses the fact that we've been talking about structure so much here. Stresses the fact that the main element in Seder, because we're talking about Seder is Royim, whatever the Seder of the Mishnah. The Seder is in terms of its interwoven structure, which is the context of each thing need to be understood in terms of the Masechet as a whole. Therefore, Yitainis, what kind of question is this? What, this is part of the same context? It's not part, just because it happens to have some loose correlation that both of them are talking about Ishto Imo, it's not the same context. So why would we paskin like Shmuel just because we paskin like Shmuel over there? Hey, for the Itmar, Itmar has to Itmar, lo Itmar. You can't make a rule out of that. Omele Rav Mari Lor of Papa. This now is the basis of a Broadway show, this Gemara. What is the din, asks Rav Mari Lor of Papa, if you have pubic hair exposed? No genital area, but Lamaisa, you know, that swimming suit is like really bad news. So, is a bikini okay? I mean, or is there a problem there? I've got a male here. So he's got sar yotzei bibigdoi, his pubic hairs now that extend out of his beged, mao. Korale, so Rav Papa's response was, ha, hair. Sar, big deal. What's big deal about hair anyway? Omar, is that where they got the name from? Omar of Yitzchak, tefach bi'isha erva. Comes on Rav Yitzchak and say even one tefach of a woman exposed is considered to be erva. Now, when you say it's considered to be erva, you've got to tell me what that means, because we've already seen that we've used it in different ways, right? We've spoken about the tension of erva in terms of maga. We've talked about erva in terms of saying a bracha. There's obviously questions of erva in terms of being close to erva. So what exactly are we talking about over here? Ilem listakula, but you're talking about looking at a tapachadish. Listakula is not ri'ya. Listakula means to stare at with the intent to enjoy. So you're talking about istakula, you're talking about get a load of that. Rav Sheshes says, you don't need a tapach for that. Because we find when they came back from Mechevet Midyan, as Raja points out, what was the whole tachlis of the gift that was brought from coming back from Mechevet Midyan? So as they explained to Moshe was like, what's going on over here? You guys, you only went to fight for morality. What happened? You sleep with those girls? They said, no. But we couldn't help thinking about it. So then they brought as a tikkun for Yirhur the jewelry of the women. And the Torah goes into a description of tabat, the kumaz, right? Now, there's a big difference between a tabat and a kumaz, because a tabat is on a finger, and a kumaz is basically a chastity belt. So it's talking about piercing the genital area. So now if you're holding a kumaz, that's definitely a lot more exciting than holding a tabat. I mean, So why, therefore, says Rav Sheshes, why did the Torah put together this intimate jewelry? Rashi says that this generally parents would pierce the vagina of their kids with this decorative, little belt, but it had some very useful side effects. Namely, would keep the men away, because there'd be no way they could actually do what they'd like to do. So it was a good way to keep their commitment. Meanwhile, it was decorative, it was pretty. So this is called a kumaz. We darshan that Rava says you don't need a raya what a kumaz is. Read the words. Kumaz stands for kan makom zima. Here's the place. Okay, so we understand that it's specifically meant to be an intimate piece of jewelry, to say the least. And why did the Torah throw that together with simple things like rings and earrings? Lama mana katuf tachshitim shebachutz, im tachshitim shebifnim. To teach you something, that lomar lecha kol ha-mistakel be'etzpa ketana shalish. What are you looking at? You're looking at her pinky. She's wearing a pinky ring. I mean, come off it, man. But lamaisa, if that is what's exciting you, then it's kila mistakel be'makom ha-torah. There's no difference between looking at that and looking as deep as you want to get. So it can't be for that. What would be the meaning of a tefach? Either you're looking or not looking. Ella, what it must be, is nothing to do with the isser of erva, rather with the exposure of erva, even where it's mutter to you, even your own wife. So now your wife is sitting there, and she's got her arms uncovered, which would generally be covered. Can you say kriyashma? No. How much uncovered? A tefach. So a tefach creates an isser erva, again, which has nothing to do with the isurim of erva of relating in terms of erva, because obviously it's your own wife. Nothing to do with the stimulation of erva. Because we're not talking about stimulation. He's not being mistakel. If he'd be mistakel, it would be true about anybody. So therefore, we're talking about over here, and any amount. So what we're talking about over here is a special din of exposure in terms of our Yom HaChanech HaKadosh, which, and Lo Yireh B'Chayr Avad Davar, for Kriyat Shema. And that, of course, would include things like saying Kiddush. We'd have the same problem. This, by the way, these kind of problems come up all the time, because you often have guests at your home who expose parts of their body that are considered to be Tefach B'Sheherva, which leads to a lot of problems. And so what do you do under those circumstances? Same thing with the hair, which we're about to discuss. This ended up being a big question when Tzniut started breaking down, you know, in post-Renaissance Europe and so on, you know, in the streets. I mean, you know, the Shilas started coming fast and thick. The Aruch HaShulchan made a mistake of sticking his neck out and saying that these halachas are socially mandated. Because tefach b'isha erva is by definition a tefach that would not normally be uncovered. But if it's normally uncovered, then there's nothing exciting about it, and it ceases to be called erva. And that's why Hasidim will not look at the Aruch HaShulchan. I'm serious. There's places where he's banned. Does he have the nerve to say what he held halacha is? But, you know, things haven't changed much. So, but halacha lemaisa, even Reb Moshe, you know, nobody banned him yet, I don't think. It's actually some Hasidim do. But even Reb Moshe Paskin, even though the normative approach was to avoid it, then he says, look, if it's in a makom where, I mean, what are you going to do? You can't turn around the other direction and make kiddush, you know. You've got people at your table. I mean, you're out in the street. You need to make a bracha. What are you supposed to do? So he says, certainly under those circumstances, you can rely on the Aruch HaShulchan. These are all extensions of Erva D'Oraisa that are essentially Drabbanan. And if he's finding that those things, the Aruch HaShulchan is saying, those things that are extension of true Erva, there's different types of things. So there's true Erva, which is an absolute. Genitals are Erva. That's an absolute. Now the question is, as an exposed arm erva, an exposed leg erva, and so on. Okay, that is social. And therefore, you could be semich on it. However, best to close your eyes, says Ramesh. Okay, but certainly, you're not going to embarrass anybody to tell them to, here, put on a scarf. You know, unless they should know better, obviously. How do we know that? Oh, so this is the guy with Kriyat Shema. Rav Chista says, well, b'chlal, forget about a tefach, a shok b'isha erva. If you got a leg, an uncovered leg, I mean, that's erva, because it says in the Torah specifically, it talks about what parts of a woman are exciting. So now the Navi wants to discuss the terrible minhagim of Klal Yisrael, that they have become like a cheap woman. So it says over there, galit samatech, Chespish Ovel, Galishok. These are the strippers, the Chasvim. So it says over there, Beferish, Galishok, uncover. Go ahead, go uncover your legs and walk around the stage. So clearly, if the Navi's making fun of us in that way, then that must be Erva. Uchsiv, Tagel Ervatech, Vegantirech Erpatech. The Posse continues right after that. And I'm calling that exposing your erva, even though the pasuk before only talked about prancing around on stage with your legs uncovered. So you see that Yeshayahu is defining the nature of such a thing as erva. Omar Shmuel, kol b'isha erva. You have the same thing as the tefach if you have a woman singing. Shemar ki kolech arev umarech nava. So that means that if you have somebody singing, you're not allowed to make a bracha either. Actually, there's a machlokas about the reference here. Is the reference to bracha, or maybe on the contrary, for bracha there's no iser, and the iser of here is to be nene from the singing. That again we'll discuss. I'm getting worried about our halakhic reviews because we got enough over here to go for 3 months just on halakhas. And no kidding, maybe we should, you know, take off particular times when it's serious time, because. But these are major issues. Is this a question of listening to a woman singing? is it a woman's presence singing while saying Kriyat Shema, or while you're saying Brachos or Kiddush or so on? Is it any woman? Does it include a cassette recorder, a radio? Is it, does it a woman doctor that you have to know? Is it only if the woman is present? And so on and so forth. These are questions that have been ma'asik, the poskim, for many generations. Where do we see this? Kolecharev. Amar Rav Sheshes, sar b'isha erva. Hair that is normally covered. And hear that? Hear the Rush says clearly. Notice when we're talking about hair, we're talking again. It's not that hair per se. We just got finished joking about pubic hair. I mean, all of a sudden we're saying hair, you know, hair, big deal. Now we're saying all of a sudden, sarbi yish erva. So the idea is because the derech of the nesuais, is how the Rush puts it. There was, again, unmarried woman. Since the derech of a married woman is to cover her hair, so uncovered hair becomes now erva in the context of saying a bracha. And this, indeed, this is where the Aruch HaShulchan focuses on. The very fact that there's a difference between a married woman and an unmarried woman. Where exactly does that come from? So is it in the Isser of relating to the unmarried woman? To the married woman as opposed to not having any Isser in relating to a unmarried woman? So how about today, when nobody's Bakra Natuma Vatira, and therefore the unmarried women are real Arvas? Because they're Nidas. So how about then? They get the dinner of a married woman, obviously not. Nobody's mocked with it. So what's the issue? So again, the issue seems to be, once again, the social contract. The mark of a married woman is that her hair is kept special for her husband, in which case it now becomes erva for somebody else. So how about if that's not the social contract? Again, all of these are the issues need to be taken into consideration.
For only her husband and for no one else, but include other women. Yes.
Well, for the public is what it includes. It doesn't matter. In her home, the chalak, it's not really an issue. Because this is her home. If you're invading her territory, that's your problem. It's not her problem. But to go outside and to expose yourself, that's the Lashon HaNavi, lachsof. Omer Rebbe Chanina. Anira idid Rebbe, shetalat tfilav. Listen, I got to tell you something. I don't know. You know, I saw a Rebbe hanging his tefillin. And we thought that that meant that he took the ritzua of the tefillin, let's say he hung his shorosh on the kesher of the shorosh, so he had the ketzitza of the tefillin hanging down, and the ritzua is up on top. So the Gemara asks, how could he do that? Meisve hatolet tefilav, yitlilo chayav. You want to hang your tefillin? You hang your life, buddy. Because we know that the Torah is considered to be, Rashi says, this is the chayim of a person. This is your life. You take the parshas of the Torah, that's what your tefillin represents, the Torah that is olive avecha, and that is bein echa, you hang them? So what you're saying is, I'm hanging my life. So how would Rebbe wouldn't have done that? As a matter of fact, Dorshe Chamurot Amru, here, by the way, is another relationship of context and interwovenness. Because the word Dorshe Chamurot, which is generally taken to mean those people who took tough medroshim and gave you pirushim on them. Actually, Rashi, not here, because his gears of is the Dorshe Rishumas, but elsewhere says, Chamuras is a lashon of kesher. So that when you have things that are tied together, and you need to open them up, but it's the interrelatedness that is difficult to untie and to figure out which elements are important, which aren't, and how do I see this? So, here just, how do they explain the meaning of in the Tosafot? We find we actually use that concept. Your life will be hanging in front of your eyes. What is that referring to? Zehatolet tfilav. Because we find tfilin called chayim. This is the Kiyu Chayecha. So how could Rebbe do it? Answers the Gemara, misunderstood what he saw. He never said Chas v'Shalom, Rebbe would hang the tefillin on his ritzuos. He said he hung the tefillin, which simply means he took the ketzitza of the tefillin itself and he put it up on a hook so that the ritzuos were hanging down, not that the ketzitza was hanging down. That's not a derech of bizoyan. So have a ritzua, have a ketzitza. But you know what? It could be that even that's not a good tariff. See, by the same, a loshna ritzua, a loshna ktitza. It may be usher to put your tefillin on a hook, whether you're hanging them from the ritzuah or you're hanging the ritzuah from the ketzitza. What Rebbe did was he put his tefillin zekel on a hook. So his kiss of the tefillin had a little hook on it, which he was able to hook, drape over the wall on a hook. And then he held, it was not considered to be Taylor tefillin. So, according to this Teretz Gitala Rebbe, the kista tali would not have hung up his tefillin at all. He hung up the kis shel tefillin. So what's the chiddush? Yachimayla Memer, that means, why would I think that's awesome? What do you mean, why? You can't hang up a Sefer Torah like that. You say, put a hook on the Sefer Torah and hang it up on the wall. A Sefer Torah requires hanocha, that's the din. So maybe the tefillin has the same halacha as the Sefer Torah? You have to put the tefillin on something, in a shelf, or you certainly can't hang them. So he's telling us a big chiddush. Ma de teba dibay hanacha k'sefer Torah? Kamash balan, that is mutter. V'yom Rebbe Chanina, once we're already talking about squealing on Rebbe, Anira iti at Rebbe, I also must tell you that over the years, I have watched very carefully to learn dinim from Rebbe's davening, and I saw that Rebbe belched during davening, and Rebbe also yawned during davening, it was mifa'eh. I saw that he sneezed during davening, it was mifa'eh. I noticed that he spit during davening, he was rock. I noticed that he was mimashmesh begadav, that if there was a kina on him, he would pick it off from his begadim. But I also noticed that once his talis fell off, accidentally, and he didn't bend down to pick it up and to put it on again. Just continued to daven. I also noted that kishu mifahek, if he would yawn, hayameniach yado al santero, he would cover his mouth by putting his hand not over his mouth, but sort of as if, with a cover, as if it was supporting his chin, but meanwhile it would cover his mouth. Meisvei. Now, the problem is, the Braisa seems to indicate that those things are not mutter, at least not all of them. First of all, amashmiya kolo betfilato areze miktani amuna. A person who feels, he gets good kavana, and he speaks loudly. He doesn't say Shmon Esrei the way everybody else does. Such a person is like Ketanei Amunah. So the Pashtus people think that Ketanei Amunah is the pshat. He thinks God can't hear him unless he speaks up. I mean, nobody's that stupid. I was going to say, I got to speak up. I don't believe that God can has good hearing. I mean, that's the Ketanei Amunah. The Reb Tzadik has a wonderful pshat. This Ketanei Amunah means self-confidence. Emunah in oneself, which is always the din of emunah. Emunah is never emunah in something else. It's your faithfulness to an idea or to yourself. So anshe emunah are people that are faithful to their own ideals. It's not faithful to something outside.
So he's got a low self-image?
Kind of so the idea over here is he doesn't believe that his thoughts really mean anything much. And when he says something, you know, so he decides, so if I utter myself, I jump up and down, and I really put my heart into it, and I say it, and you know, and I can hear it. That already, that's meaningful. No, that's Miktani Amuna. The meaning of a thing doesn't come from the volume level or the jumping or anything else. It comes from the extent at which something means something to you in your heart. And therefore, you're Miktani Amuna if you think that your heart's meaningless. Somebody who shouts during his davening, now Magbiya Kolobit Filato, he's worse. He's like a Nabi Sheker. I mean, he's got to make an impression on everybody, like the V.A. Habal that were going around all day long shouting, Habal, Habal! No, so, okay, so they got the ball, he's got a control, you know, but it's basically the same idea. None of this interests us, the guy they read it. But how about this piece? Migahek, Umifahek, Areze Migasei Haruach. Somebody who would belch or would yawn? What kind of, what would be the word, gasei ruach? Not arrogant, but rather,
coarse.
No.
Rude,
you would say. No, it's more than rude. It's like Frenchman.
Snobby.
What's the word?
Snob.
Yeah, Yeah, no, it's a snobbery. It's like arrogant. It's more than arrogant. It's an anhaga in which you hold yourself to put your nose up in the air, to be above everybody else. There's a special word for it. Haughty is closer. Yes, definitely. That's definitely closer. No, haughty is the closest so far. But anyways, begatzi arua. Hamitatesh betfilato. Don't say that to Enred. Somebody now who sneezes in his tefillah, that's a simin ralo. That's a sign that things are not going to be going good for him in his tefillah. V'yeshomrim, others say nikar shehum becholar. He's a disgusting person. This has all been said about the things that we just said that Rebbe did. This is unbelievable. Harak betfilato. Somebody spits in his tefillah, and he saw Rebbe spit. But you would walk into the Queen of England and say, "Excuse me, Elizabeth, old girl. What kind of business is that? So how could you possibly be rock in the middle of the tefillah? How are we going to explain this?" Bishleim b'gaheikul b'fahikulakash. Look, I mean, you could say that there's a difference between somebody who yawns in a way he just can't control the yawn. And somebody gets into his yawning. You have some of his, there's some guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we know who we're talking about. That there's some davenings in which you can't daven. This is people that are just yawning all the time. So that's terrible. Belching. I mean, if people are belching, you have a good belch, like a compliment at the end of a Chinese meal. That's not what you're supposed to be doing during the meal. Of course, certainly that's not what the Rebbe did during his davening. He came, and he belched. But it was an accident. He realized it was happening. But mitatesh, I mean, what about sneezing? Sneezing is always an accident. So that's a problem, no? No, mitatesh, nami lo kasha. Actually, there's two ways to sneeze. One's from on top, and one's from on the bottom. And we don't have another word except itush. So lamaisa, one is talking about itush, was sneezing. One is talking about releasing flatulence. That already is bichoar. And that's not what I meant that Rebbe was doing. I meant that he sneezed. The Omer Rebbe Zera Hamilsa Ilali Beiravam Nuna Vatekila Vekikulik Talmudoy. I gotta tell you, they drilled this into me. I absorbed it into my flesh when I was learning by Ravuna. To me, it weighs as much as everything else. Because I got allergies. And all davening long, I'm sneezing, driving everybody crazy. And I used to think, oh my God, like, what does this mean about the darga of my tefillah? And then they taught me, hamitatesh betfilato siman yafelo. I learned that it's a good sign. Why is it a good sign? Because when a guy needs to sneeze, I mean, it's such a terrible pain not getting that sneeze, right? I mean, you need to sneeze sometimes. So therefore, kishem shosim lo nachat ruach milamata, kach osim lo nachat ruach milamala. If on the earth they have allowed you to find your sneeze, then that means that in the heavens they're allowing you to find what you're looking for in your davening. So therefore, it's a good siman.
Is that why they give us nothing?
Yeah.
Really?
But
obviously, when you're davening, he's wearing his tefillin, and that's and so isn't that is even more than tzminrado? Not much problem with his tefillin.
Right, you're not allowed to.
Yeah,
lots of people would be an accident. We'll see. We're gonna talk about it soon. But how about the spit part? How do you explain that? Rock, kasha. It says somebody spitting is like spitting in front of the melech. How could he spit in the middle of davening? No, rak harak nami lo kasha. There's no problem there too, because if you follow Rabbi Yehuda, then you don't have a problem of bizoyan hamelach. Efshik Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Hoya omei betfilavin is nami lo roko. Sometimes it happens that you've got to get rid of some spit in your mouth. What are you going to do? Mavliyo betalito. What you could do is if you don't have a handkerchief, you could be mavliya it in something that you're wearing. If your talus is a good talus, so fine, use your afakasuto. Now, afakasuto generally is understood by Rashi all over to mean a turban, which would come around from the front, and the lower part would extend downwards, and people use it to wipe their mouths and so on. So you could do that. And others, or the Oroch learns that afakosuto is actually an underclothing. And it was, it would extend, it was like a underwear that would be held on by brace, what do you call it, a suspender type of thing. You know, that old-fashioned underclothing that they have in the Old West, you know. So that type of thing is afakosuto. Yeah, like drawers, yeah, except with a thing. So you stick your hand in something that isn't exposed, and you can use it to wipe the spit from your mouth. Now, the problem is that Ravina was once sitting behind Ravashi and had to spit, Nizdami lo rok, patke le'achore. So what he did was, is he threw it behind him, and of course, Ravina didn't think too much of that. So he asked Ravashi, Lo Savala Marla, other of you, Mavliu Bafarka Suto. I mean, isn't there a locha that you're supposed to use your handkerchief or something? Amalei Ana Anina Da Toi. I'm a Yafe Nefesh, my friend. I don't do that kind of thing. I'm too classy for that. Sorry.
This is classier.
Well, it's not a question of class. I'm not going to have it on my begotten. I mean, that's different.
Nanyangu was standing behind Rav Ashi, even though there's more that says, more says, Yinapos mean this Palo Afari Rabbo.
It could be to the side. That's that it's do they make
more. Rav Ashi
is the same well, man. Yeah, I mean, he couldn't have thrown it behind him if it would have hit the guy behind him anyway. So clearly it's talking about this stuff. Hamashmiya kolo bitfilato, reza biktane yamuna. Omer avuna lo shono shalir yocholo chavenet libo balach. He says, I mean, look, you can't tell a person who just, he can't, just can't get his tefillah together unless he can hear the words. So if he can't be b'chaven his lev without hearing what he's saying, then it's mutar. But of course, not at anyone else's cost. If you're davening alone, it's mutar. I don't know what the afid. I mean, see, what are you going to say? I need to concentrate. Well, thank you very much. So do we. So also lemitra tzibura, and to do such a thing for your tefillah would be matrin other people. It is of course awesome.
This is not a well-known.
Now, Rabbi Abba wanted very much to make Aliyah. And because of that, he would never expose himself to Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda was dead set against making Aliyah. He held that it was an Isser D'Oraisa to leave Bavel. So therefore, Rabbi Abba didn't want to get that sock, so he avoided Rabbi Yehuda like the plague. And he would, but I mean, it was a big problem because Rav Yehuda gave some good drushes. He wanted to hear what he had to say. He had a problem getting hold of the cassette recordings. And so, because what was Rav Yehuda's sheet? The Amr Rav Yehuda, Kol Ha'olemi Bavel Eretz Yisrael, Over Ba'ase, Shemra Bavela Yuvo, Vishama Yiyu. It says, Beferish in the Pasuk, Vishama Yiyu. They're meant to stay there. So if that's the case, how can you just walk away? So it must be that it's awesome.
Yeah, that's very...
You have to wait ad yom paktiot. You have to wait till the day of the pekida. No, my
shem. At the Ashram of Ami Yosef, he was in Iraq, he can't hear his tremor.
Yeah. Pascha might review that. Omar, Yizel v'eshba mina milsa mibeiz vada v'hadar afik. Okay, you know, just before I leave, like one last visit to the Beis Medrash, when Rabbi Yehuda is giving shir, I'm not going to give him a chance to say anything to me. So let me hear one thing from the Beis Vav, and then I'll go. So Oto Ashka Latana, the Ketonic Kamei Rabbi Yehuda, he comes in, and there's this Tana that's saying over Allah in front of Rabbi Yehuda, and he says to Rabbi Yehuda, Haya omeid batvila v'nitatej, mamtina chichale haruach, obviously over here if there's bad smell, we ain't talking about sneezing, V'chozer mitpalel, and then he continues davening. Now, Ikeri Amri, and he said over another lashon, Hayomei batvel ubikesh lihitatish. How about if he feels he just can't control it? Marchik la'achorav arba amot, umitatish, umamtina chichale haruah, v'chozer mitpalel. So it's best to walk back and get away from the area where you were davening. And then, when you're able to daven again, go forward and apologize. And say, Ribono shel Olam, Yitzartanu nikavim nikavim chalulim chalulim, Golui v'yadua lefanecha cherpatenu chlimatenu. What are we? A bunch of worms. Even b'chayenu, b'akritenu rimavet oleya. And then after, being as you've already mopsik the tefila, so you're mopsik to say this, and after the apology, matchim imakom shepasak. Omar, take out the word lay, obviously he wasn't talking to Rabbi Yehuda. Omar, he said to himself, in other words, wow, that is something that is really good to know. You know, there are times when the room is so cold, you ain't going to stick that head out of the room. If you'll say Kriyat Shema, your words will freeze. So what do you do under those circumstances? Because here, what's your problem? Again, norm is to sleep without any clothing. Now you're going to have your head basically in the same area that your genitals are. So that's called a violation of lo yireh b'cha ervat davar, because you can see ervat davar. So what do you do? Chotzeitz b'talito al tzavaro. So take some piece of clothing or something, put it around your neck, so that way you separate between your eyes and your genitals. V'kori kriyat shema. Others hold, no, that won't be good enough. You have to separate over your heart, because otherwise your lave is, so to speak, ro'eh et ha'erva. So Tanakama, what about according to Tanakama? How could you just put something around your neck? What good is that? Ha'rei libo ro'eh et ha'erva. Obviously the Tanakama holds. Kasava ro'eh, libo ro'eh et ha'erva. Mutar. Omri v'nom Rabbi Yochanan. Hayam mehalech b'mevo'ot ha'matunafot. How about if you're walking down alleyways where there are disgusting things, smelly things on the road? So, miniach yado al piv, you should cover your mouth and say kriyat shema with your mouth covered. Amar le Rav Chista, Elohim, mamra le Rav Yochanan v'pumei lo tzadkin alei. You know, you're quoting Rav Yochanan. I swear to God, if he would have said it to me, I would have totally ignored it. Who's going to follow a psak like that to say kriyat shema in a place like that? Ikedi amri amar rabba barbakan amri v'yeshua ben Levi. Others say the Maisa was that it was Rabbi Bar Bachana quoting Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and it was to that that Rav Chista says, I swear to God, the girsa over here is that it's a play on Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. The other girsa is, Im Amar Li Yoshua ben Nun befume. I don't forget about you, this Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. If Yeshua ben Nun had told me that that's halacha, I wouldn't have listened to him. By the way, I mean, would anybody have said that? Would Ravuna have claimed that Rabbi Yochanan held it to say Kriyat Shema in a dirty alleyway? But Ravuna himself paskins, Amar Ravuna, Tamit Chacham Asur Lo La'amot Mebokam Adin, but forget about saying Kriyat Shema. If you're a Talmud Chokhmah, you're not even allowed to be in a place like that, because wherever you're going, you're always thinking and getting tired. So how can you be Maher Torah in a place that smells or has disgusting things in it? The fishiev shalo lamod b'li yirhur Torah. A Talmud Chacham simply cannot get the Torah out of his mind. Lo kasha. He said, you're not allowed to stand there. Omeid. Fine. Omeid, we understand, is lost there. But he was talking about you're walking along the street. You're saying Kriyat Shema. Now you walk along a place where it smells. What do? Stop? Or do you put your hand over your nose and mouth and just say things to yourself? So it's not necessarily a steering. But, okay, fine, you could say that in Ravuna, but Ravuna was quoting Rabbi Yochanan. How could Rabbi Yochanan have said that you should say Kriyat Shema in a mavo mitunav umiyomer Rabbi Yochanan? If Omer Rabba Barbakon of Rabbi Yochanan, bechol makom mutar la her b'divrei Torah, chutz mi beit amrechatz umi beit akisei. You can't think about learning in a bathroom or in a toilet room. V'chitei ba'okanami. Maybe you'll try to say, well, but maybe it's the same answer. Kanbo meidu kanbo ma'aleh. What in halacha means, if you're walking through, you can. No, that's not true. Because Rabbi Avu was actually behind Rabbi Yochanan when they were walking. And Rabbi Yochanan was reading Kriyat Shema. And when he got to a dirty place in the Mavui, he stopped reading Kriyat Shema, Rabbi Avu. And afterwards, he asked Rabbi Yochanan, where do I go back to? The place where I stopped? Or do I have to start over again? On my lane, Rabbi Yochanan said, look, Im Shahita, Kedei Ligmar Kula, you stop long enough that you could have finished the whole Kriyat Shema, so then you're going to have to start over again. But if not, then you can go back to where we were. So doesn't that show that Rabbi Yochanan holds that you must be mafsik, and that you might have to start even over again if the alleyway, the Mokum and Matunim, goes on long enough? And that's walking, not standing. So what are you going to do now? Well, now, wait a minute. Rabbi Yochanan never said that that's his personal opinion. Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Abu, who had stopped reading. That was his own decision, right? He stopped reading, Rabbi Abu. Then he asked Rabbi Yochanan, look, I stopped saying Kriyat Shema because it was a Mavo Metunah. Do I start from where I left? So what Rabbi Yochanan might have been saying was, look, L'didi lo sfirli, I don't hold you should have stopped. But you hold you should have stopped. Okay, so L'ditcha desfir lecha, and you're asking me how long that stop, what's the significance of the stop? Im shahita kedei ligmor et kulah chazor l'rosh. If you stop long enough to go back to the beginning, I never told you to stop though. So in other words, we don't have over here necessarily a raya that Rabbi Yochanan himself held that it was necessary to stop in walking through in Makom HaMetunah. So you can't ask the kasha from Rav Huna's court of Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, gentlemen, I think we should better stop here before we all go out. Mm-hmm.
Sorry about that.